And before I start even, I want to ask us a question. How is your walk with the Lord? How is your walk with the Lord right now? You know, sometimes we need to just take one or two steps backwards and kind of look in and really just assess and see where we are in terms of our walk with the Lord, because there's always more. There is always more. He always has more for us. So again, I ask this question. How is your walk? How is your relationship with the Lord at this moment in time? The title of the message that I want to share this morning is, Let's Demonstrate Our Godly Character. You know that we are children of the Most High God. And that means that we have God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling within us. That means that we are a light to this lost and dying world out there. Folks, I want to tell you, when people see you, they should see Christ in you. They should see Christ in me, the hope of glory. And we need to go out there and let our light shine. That we are able to demonstrate our light. And part of it is that we truly are those that represent Jesus well. That we are men and women of character. So we need to know, first of all, when it comes to this thing, that God is more concerned about our character, than He is about our comfort. Think about it. That's what He is more concerned about our character. And He's also more concerned about our holiness than He is about how happy we are. That's the way it is. So how a Christian actually deals with the issues of life, when the issues of life actually come along, how we deal with those things, those are the things, that's when we are in a position where we demonstrate character. Because we all know we will experience adversity. The trials and tribulations of life will come. And as they come, or adversity comes, we actually reach a point where there's a crossroads, and we're at a place right there where we have to make a decision. And we can either choose character or we choose compromise. It's as simple as that. Character or compromise. And we know too that God is actually getting us ready. God is getting you and I ready as believers to spend eternity or to live with Him forever and ever and ever. And that is part of the journey that we are on, is getting ready for this. Because we have an inheritance. Amazing inheritance. So we have a wonderful time once we get born again here on planet Earth, where we have God the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. But then we'll reach a point, each one of us, if the rapture doesn't happen first, that we will pass on. And straight away, in the twinkle of an eye, we will be in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. So He is preparing us for the eternity that we will be spending with Him. And we need to be open and allow the Lord to actually work in our lives. You know, one thing is for sure, very, very sure, that you and I will not be able to take our possessions with us. That fat banking account of yours, that's staying behind. Oh Lord, give us each one of those fat ones. Okay. All right. But that fat banking account is going to stay behind, all right? That fancy, shiny car of yours is not going with you. That new house of yours, that big house. Those things are not going. All those toys that you have accumulated. Remember I shared about that bumper sticker I saw some time back. He who dies with the most toys wins. All right? It's, folks, those things, we need to be mindful of the fact that those things, all those things are not going with us. But there are a couple of things that will be going with us. The one thing is godly character. Character is going with us. And also, what will be going with us is how we live out our lives here on earth. That's going to go with us, because while we are here on earth, when we go into eternity, we will be rewarded in eternity according to how you and I have lived out this life and how we've conducted ourselves. So that's why, you know, we need to be ready for the eternity that we're going to be moving into. So what we do here on earth is going to have an impact in eternity. Am I right? We know that. Okay. So character is who you are in the dark. That's what character is. Who are you in the dark? Who am I in the dark? You know why I'm asking that question? Because that is the real you. That is the real me. How do you and I actually conduct ourselves when no one else is around? When we're just by ourselves? You know, talent, you know, the Lord is just amazing. He's placed talents within each one of us. Do you know that? We all got different talents. But talent is a gift. That talent that you got is a gift. But folks, character is a choice. Godly character is a choice. And we need to choose character. So we develop character every single time that we're in a situation where we've got a choice to make. That's how our character is actually developed. Because we can either choose the easy way or we choose the right way. And so often we choose the easy way. And we need to kind of, I know that the Holy Spirit will never condemn us, but the Holy Spirit needs to convict us when we make those sort of choices and we make choices incorrectly, when we are choosing the path of least resistance, the easy way, instead of choosing the way of character. And you know, people do not trust other people with a flawed character. You've got that friend. You know that friend? That one. No, no, not that one. The other one. That friend. And you see that, you know, that character trait in them, where there's a flaw in them. That friend, do you trust them? Do you really trust somebody where you see flaws in their character? It's very difficult to trust people like that. Let me say that. So it's important to know that a person, no person, none of us sitting here today can actually rise above the limitations of our character. That's as far as we're going to get. The limit, our character is the thing that will limit us. And we cannot rise above the limitations of our character. And any success that you may experience or I might experience without a good, good foundation of real good character, let me tell you this, it's bound to fail. We see people that it seems that they are so successful, they're doing really well, things are going well for them, but that thing will not last if it is built on a foundation of a flawed character. Am I right? And we need to know these things, folks, because what I'm sharing here, and I'll give us scriptures now as well. So we need to ask ourselves some questions. What patterns of weakness do we actually see in our own lives? What patterns of weakness, you can ask other people, do other people see in our lives? Because if we start to analyze those things, you'll find that many of them are character issues. And, you know, especially in the church, you know, we can take risks with people, all types of people. But one thing we don't risk on is a flawed character. Amen. Is it too hot in here this morning? Or is it just, are we okay? You know, this world system puts a lot of emphasis on possessions. Am I right? You know, it's all about possessions, and it puts a whole lot of emphasis on popularity, you know, being popular and all the stuff that you've got, and it puts a lot of emphasis on money and fat banking accounts and, you know, all of these things, and how famous the person is and how connected a person is and all of those things. But let me tell you something, God doesn't put emphasis on those things. He doesn't put emphasis on those things. He puts emphasis on different things. He puts the emphasis on eternal things. For example, it might be that God would, you know, ask questions like, and these are eternal things. Are my children holy? Are my children holy? And what is holiness? Holiness is just us pushing in and drawing closer and closer to Him and becoming more like His Son. Are my children holy? Do my children have a deep relationship with me? Are they applying my principles in their lives? Are they? He would ask things like, are they spending time with me? Enough time? Are they spending time with me in prayer? Are my children those that hear my word and do my word? Or are they those that hear my word and don't do my word? Are my children doing their utmost to become more and more like my son Jesus? Are my children desiring to please Jesus? These are the sort of questions I believe that the Lord would actually ask us. So I'll say it again, that God is more concerned about our character than He is about our comfort, and is more concerned about our holiness than our happiness. And it's for our own good. It really is for our own good. So this morning I just want to have a look at five, let's call them godly characteristics. Five characteristics that I believe that every single Christian should strive for. Now, there are a whole lot more. Right? I'm just going to look at five of them that we can see in the Word of God. So if you've got your Bible, could you open to Philippians 2, verse 19? And this is now Paul speaking about two individuals. And let's just hear what he says about these two individuals. That's Philippians 2, verse 19. He says, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by the news of you. For I have no one like him." Imagine Paul the apostle saying that about you or me. "I have no one like you." He says, "I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth." Another translation will say, "But you know Timothy's character," right? "How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me. And I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will also come." So there Paul is now speaking about Timothy, who is a young man. He's a young man, but a man of integrity, a man of character. Verse 25, he says, "I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." Now here's another one he's speaking about. And he says, "My brother, and a fellow worker, and a fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." Indeed, he was ill, near to death. So Epaphroditus was near to death, but God had mercy on him, and did not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. "I am more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men." Honor such men. He's spoken about Timothy. He's spoken about Epaphroditus right here. "For he," talking about Epaphroditus now, "he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." So in this portion of Scripture, we have Paul the Apostle. And he actually gives two examples of two godly men, or two men that had character. Two men of character. He first speaks about Timothy, and then he speaks about Epaphroditus. And then Paul says this about Timothy. He says, "You know his proven character." That's about Timothy. Then he says this about Epaphroditus. He says, "Receive him therefore in the Lord with gladness, and hold such men in esteem." So in Paul's estimation, these two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus, were men of character. Right? Men of character. So folks, my question is then, what kind of godly character or characteristics is the Lord looking for in a person? What is he looking in, you know, as he looks at us? What is he looking for with us? And like I said, I wanted to speak about five of them that we see in the Word here this morning. And the very first one that the Lord is expecting from us, the first thing is compassion. Compassion. God is looking for people who care about people. That's what compassion is, right? And over a long period of time, and I know maybe some of you young guys that are here today, you won't believe what I'm going to say right now. But over a long period of time, relationship is more, how can I say, valuable than riches. I'll say it again. Relationship is more valuable than riches. And as you get older, you start to, how can I say, embrace the fact that relationships with people, they really do have value. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, and I'm reading from the Message Bible now. It says, now listen to this. We were talking about love earlier on. Now listen to this. If I give everything I own to the poor, can you imagine yourself now selling your house, selling your car, taking your bank balance, whatever it is, and turning that into cash, everything that you've got, he says, and I give it to the poor. Right? He goes on to say, and even if I go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, so not you have now gone out and you've given all your worldly possessions to the poor, now because of your stand about your Christian faith, you go and you actually give your life for Jesus. So you've given your worldly wealth and your life for Jesus, right? And he says, and go to the stake and be burnt as a martyr. Now listen to this. But I don't have love. I've got nowhere, he says. Nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Folks, this is so important. This is what the Christian message is all about. You know, if we had to try to define God or put God in a box, it would be, if we had to define God, it would be, as the word says, that God is love. And we call to become more and more and more like Him. Jesus, right? Jesus is God. God is love. So you can, you know, be successful with everything, you know, in terms of worldly things and your life and so on. But let me tell you something. According to the word, that if we do not have love in our lives, ultimately we are a failure. And this is something that we need to start to kind of focus on and sharpen up, I believe, as believers. Where we are able to demonstrate this agape kind of love towards other people. And God is looking for people of compassion, people with compassion. And really, compassion, all compassion is love in motion. That's what compassion is, right? Love in action. So that's, you know, the first thing here. You know, look at what Paul says here about Timothy in Philippians 20 or 2 verse 20. He says, I've no one quite like Timothy. He is loyal. Is that a character issue? He's loyal. He is genuinely concerned for you. Most people around here are looking out for themselves with little concern for the things of Jesus. So Paul says that Timothy here, you know, he's one that will genuinely care for you. He's one that genuinely cares for people. He is a man of compassion. And he also says here that he's not just interested in, you know, his own interests, right? So he's also looking, not only, obviously not his own interests, but he's also looking for or over our spiritual welfare. It's a spiritual thing as well. Hello? This life that we live in right now, and just the way of the world and this world system, it is possible to get so wrapped up in it, so involved in it, so involved in your work, committed to your work, committed to your business, that you forget about your family. And I'm not just talking about your family, whether it's your husband or your wife and your children. I'm talking about our spiritual families as well. Okay? God wants us to be those that actually care for and have compassion towards those that are part of the family of God. And God expects us to be concerned for other people. So that's the first thing. Another thing I believe that the Lord would be looking for with us is integrity. Integrity. Who you are is more important than what you do. I'll say it again. Who you are is more important than what you do, because so often we get the thing of our significance and our security and all of these things, we get it from what we do. And then when the wheels come off in terms of what we do, what do we have? So who we are is more important. And I really do believe that God is looking for people who will actually stand up, in these times especially, for godly standards. Those things that He has put in place. We know, as believers, what they are. And we need to stand up for those things. Philippians 2:22. Timothy had this. But you know Timothy's proven worth or Timothy's proven character. How as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. The same verse in the message, I want to read that to you as well. It says, but you know yourselves that Timothy's the real thing. Timothy's the real thing. He's been a devoted son to me as together we've delivered the message. So when he talks about Timothy, and I think Timothy is an example that we can follow, right? When he talks about Timothy, he's speaking about Timothy's proven character. He's speaking about Timothy here being the real thing. He's speaking about Timothy's personal integrity. He's talking about Timothy being a man of honor. That's what he's doing right there. So he is the kind of person that God is looking for. And folks, that's the kind of person that we need to be as well. Timothy was not influenced by outside pressure. You think we've got pressure in terms of, you know, what the way we live in our lives. You want to know what these guys went through, and especially for their Christian faith in those days, right? So Timothy was not influenced by the external pressure or the pressure that was actually around him. I know I've said this before, but I think it kind of ties in with what I've been wanting to share here today. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Am I right? If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. And what is it then that you and I are willing to stand for? Are we willing to stand, really stand for the Lord? Even in the tough times, right? So we need to be those people of conviction. We need to be people who are not bought with a price. I'm sure all of us, when you start to see these politicians in our nation, these are the men and women that you and I have actually elected or selected to be in positions of authority to make sure that this nation of ours runs properly. And yet, they are so easily bought. Corruption, theft, looting, plunder. Am I right? Am I using words here that, I mean, we recognize these words. Folks, it shouldn't be like that. These should be men and women of integrity, men and women of character that are in positions of authority, that have a heart for the people of this nation. That's the way it should be. So, in all of this, a person like them, you know, who is actually half committed to something, is really not committed at all. We're either totally committed to something or we're not committed. That's just the way it is. In Proverbs 10, verse 9, it says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And you go and look up that word securely. It means that if you walk in integrity, that you will walk safely. That we are safe. We're protected. So whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked, in other words, people that now follow a crooked path, you know, ducking and diving, will be found out. That means that it might not happen immediately, but it will happen. They will be found out. And that actually means that those people will slip and those people will fall. Amen? This is really what it's saying. So this is the bottom line. Okay, you have to have integrity if you are going to be a person of character. And God wants His children to be men and women of character. You know, I was thinking about this. And I use that word, nice. It's a horrible word, isn't it? Nice. It's like, you know what it is. Nice. It's really not committing to anything. Nice. But let me say this, that a nice personality, and how many of us know people with nice personalities, right? It's wonderful. Because a nice personality will give a very, very good first impression. That's what a nice personality does. But success over a period of time cannot come from a nice personality. That comes from character. So it's wonderful if we have, glowing personalities. But folks, it's not about personality. It's all about character. And character well, personality, if we can have a really, how can I say, glowing personality as well as character, wow, you know, what a person, right? But it's all about character. And also a person of integrity. You know, a person of integrity will not be afraid about what is going to be found out about them. They're not going to be afraid of what's going to be found out about them because they have nothing to hide. They've got nothing to hide because they are men and women of integrity. So the question is our life, or is our, let me say it like this, is our private life consistent with our public image? Think about that. Is our private life, who we are at home, is that consistent with our public image, what we project out there when we come into contact with people? We can look at it in this context, right? Are we godly on Sunday? And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, well, we live like who knows. I'm just saying, folks. This is the character thing that we need to be focusing on and aware of and mindful of, because God is concerned about this and therefore we should be as well. So God is looking for people who are consistent in their character. That's important, all right? People who strive to live a godly life at all times, not just sometimes. You know. Are we okay? How's the temperature at the back there? You guys need a bit of a cooling down there. You okay? All right. The next thing here, you know, the Lord is looking for people, and this is an interesting one, because He's looking for people that actually work together with people. He is, right? Because we're talking about family here. We're talking about friendships. We're talking about relationships. So God is looking for people who work together with other people as well. And God is looking for those people where there is cooperation between people instead of competition. You know that even in the church, of course not this church, okay, all those other churches out there. But you know that there are people that are kind of competing in church. Huh? People, you know, where there's no cooperation, they throw the cooperation out the window and start to compete with each other. So even in churches, can you imagine how bad it is? And some of you are exposed to it. What it's really like in the corporate world out there. Huh? Competing. Always this competition. And Paul recognizes the fact, you know, that he could get so much more, how can I say, accomplished. He could do so much more if he worked together with people. In Philippians 2:25, it says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. So here Paul, when he's speaking about Epaphroditus right there, you know, he's talking about relationship. He's talking about his relationship with Epaphroditus. He was saying to him, this guy, he's my brother, right? This guy, he's a fellow worker. He works with me. And then he went on to say, he's even a fellow soldier. That means that Paul and Epaphroditus went out, you know, on ministry trips where they took a whole lot of flak somewhere. It was like a battle. And the two of them were like soldiers in the battle that they were involved in. But he says Epaphroditus is one of those guys that I would go out to battle with. And it's quite interesting here, because in these few verses that I've just read, these two verses, we actually see three things about the Christian life. And I just want to talk about those three things quickly. About the Christian life. excuse me. The first thing about the Christian life, it is about family. It's about family. Whether you like it or not, we're related. Sorry, guys. That's just the way it is. You're related to me. Okay? And I'm related to you. Right? Provided you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because if you're not born again, well, you know, you don't qualify for this. You're not part of the family. Okay? So, I am your brother. And the person sitting next to you right now, if you look at them, they're either your brother or sister. That is the way it is. And Paul, it's interesting here. Now, Paul uses the term brother. Do you know that Paul uses the term brother in the New Testament more than 130 times? More than 130 times he's talking, and that word brother or sister, this is talking about relationship. This is talking about family. So we are family. It describes relationship, you know, of believers. So we are family. Sorry, whether you like it or not. Sorry, Clem, I'm your brother. Thank you. But, you know, there's a flip side to that because you're also mine. So, there we go. So that's the thing. When we're talking about this. Also, talking about Christian life right here. It's not only about family, because family is one thing, but it's talking about relationship and it's talking about fellowship. Dave, don't talk to me about getting close to other people. Yes, I am. Now's the day. We need to be mindful of this. It's talking about relationship. It's talking about fellowship. Let me tell you something, that we all have something in common. You know what that is, okay? That you and I are ultimately heading towards the same destination. And it's called heaven, right? We're all heading towards the same destination, and that means we've also, you know, we have the same task, because part of what we are doing while we are still here is something that is called the Great Commission. And that is that we go into all the world and we tell them. We snatch people out of the kingdom of darkness and we bring them into the kingdom of light, because our Father says that He wants each and every single person on this planet to be saved. And He doesn't use angels to do it. He uses the family, this family. That's why we need to tell them, folks. We need to tell them. So, we're part of this family, right? We serve Him together. We work together. We do a whole bunch of things together. We accomplish things together for Him. Because basically, we are all in the same boat. And it's not the Titanic. We are all in the same boat. All of us, right? We are all basically those that were sinners, big time. And then we were exposed to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we got saved through faith and through the grace of God, by grace, right? And also because of the incredible mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We received salvation. And what happened then? We got God living on the inside of us. We became a new creature, a new creation, the Bible says. And then it goes on to say in the Bible that we are all commissioned to go and tell them about Jesus, so that they too can receive salvation. Amen. Thank you, brother. That's the second thing out of those two verses. The third thing, you know, about the Christian life, it is often a battle. How many of you have noticed? It's often a battle. There are trials. There are tribulations. There are challenges in this walk that we walk. You know, you need to realize too that as soon as you become a Christian, you enter into the army of God. You're now part of the army. And it's no good parking off on, you know, in the army with your flip-flops and your baggies. Okay? I'm saying. Many people, I'm so happy about my salvation. Hey, you're part of an army now. Go take your flip-flops off. Go take your baggies off. And let's get ready, because we are actually in a battle. And the battle that we're in is actually a spiritual battle. And in the spiritual battle, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to defend and to support and to protect each other. Because we are all on the same side. Care for one another. We have a common enemy, who is the devil. Is he really a devil, Dave? I'll speak about that sometime. We better know that there's a devil. And we better know, too, that he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we better know that he's operating here on planet Earth. In fact, it's so important that when Paul actually, he was communicating, he sent a letter off to the church in Ephesus. And this is what he said when he wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, hey, in Ephesians 6 verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the... of who? The devil. Right? So Paul is saying, guys, you're born again now. You better make sure that you are ready. You better make sure that you are protected. And then he goes off and he gives us some insight. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. That horrible person that's so horrible to you at work. Let me tell you, don't wrestle with them. It is the spirit behind the person that you have authority over that you can actually get involved in. He says, we don't fight against people. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, but against authorities, but against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil. Where? In heavenly places. Remember a few weeks ago, I shared about Daniel, and when Daniel actually prayed, and it took 21 days for his prayer to be answered. Why was that? Because of the battle that was taking place in the heavenlies. Question, folks. Do we treat other believers, number one, as family? Do we also treat them as fellow soldiers? Turn to the person next to you and say, you are a fellow soldier. Do we have fellowship? Do we have fellowship with our brothers and our sisters? I know I've said this as well before, but I'll say it again. We have tea and coffee there afterwards. If you really think it's because I have such a concern about how thirsty you might be after I've spoken, you're wrong. Okay? You're wrong. It gives us an opportunity to go and have some tea and coffee and get to know somebody, get to know our brothers and our sisters. God wants us to all interact with the family, with other believers. And I want to tell you something, there is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. Oh brother, I'm saved. Okay, now I'm heading. No loose cannons. Loose cannon Christian. Where you just, you know what a loose cannon is, you know, on a ship. All right. Huge weight, this cannon, and it's not tied down. And as the ship moves and this thing runs to the back of the ship and then comes steaming to the front of the ship as it goes over a wave, and as the ship tilts, this cannon is just out there doing its own thing. No loose cannon Christians at all. So God wants us to have fellowship with one another, and God wants us to have a relationship with one another because we are all believers and because we are all family. And my question to us, there has to be a challenge in this. Are you and I working on this? Or do we find a real opportunity that comes our way just to not interact with our brothers and sisters? I'm just asking. Let's get back to character things. So the Lord is looking for people, we said, you know, of character. And the next thing, when we're talking character, commitment. Commitment, right? God is looking for people who put commitment to Him and His kingdom before their own comfort. Commitment. Ask yourself, only you know if you're committed to the Lord. Paul says this about Epaphroditus again in Philippians 2:29. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. So here is a man that Paul says is a man of integrity, a man with character. But it wasn't about his comfort right here. It was more about his commitment to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Commitment. I'm sure all of us sitting here today, we know those people that are great starters. Great starters, whether it is the start of the Christian walk, or whether it's the start of a business, or whether it's a... But it's interesting, when you see all these people that are great starters, it somehow just kind of unravels, but not all of them are great finishes. There's a big difference between being a great starter and a great finisher. You know, more people start the race, whatever the race might be. Our Christian walk as well. than actually finish it. Many, many people start a project. They get a project going and start putting the whole thing together, okay, and never see it completed. And again, I know it's none of us here. It's all those other guys sitting in churches all over the place. Not us. Right. People just seem to, they start something, and often in their Christian walk, and after a short time, they throw in the towel. You know why? It's inconvenient. No, this is inconvenient. Or they will say, oh, no, the price is just too hard to pay, okay? They're more interested in their comfort than their commitment to the Lord. Too much effort. I can't carry on with this thing. Jesus said to us, it will cost us something. He said in Luke 9:62, Jesus told them, no one who puts his hand to the plow, I've given you this thing a couple of weeks ago, and looks back, right, is fit for the kingdom of God. Once we put our hand to the plow, we need to start plowing. And we need to start moving as He guides us and as He leads us. So folks, God is looking for men and women who will pay the price. And there is a price to pay, you better believe it. It takes character, absolute character, to remain committed to the things of God. And I know you know people that got born again and they were on fire, man. And next thing, you know, you see them 2-3 years later. Hey, how's it, you know? Oh, you know, how's your Christian walk? Oh, no, I don't go to church. I don't like church. No, I went to that church. You know what, that pastor? No, that. And you know, the worship was just too loud, eh? No, I don't go there. And you know what? They never turned the air cons on. It was always hot in that place. Yeah, I know you guys. Then the final one that we see here. The Lord is looking for people with courage. Now, what did I speak on last week? Who remembers? Be strong and courageous. And God is looking for men and women who are strong and courageous. And if you weren't here last week, well, you can go onto our website and you can hear what He says about those being strong and courageous. But God is looking for people who will put godly, how can I say, service. When we're out there, this type of godly service before their own security. People that will kind of go into areas that, well, you know, but that's dangerous. I know. We know. I'm thinking of my wife here. You know, the number of times we've been into areas and, yeah, sometimes it's just dangerous. But we need to make sure that we go out there and we serve Him and actually put our own security, because I'll give you a scripture now, you know, relating to this. So we need to go out there and we need to stand up for God. We need to stand up for godly values, no matter what the cost is. And I want to tell us too, folks, nowadays it's becoming more and more dangerous to be a Christian. It is. It's becoming more dangerous. You've seen what's happening. You've seen what's happening around the world. All right? Becoming very, Christians are the most, what's the word? Persecuted people on the planet. You and me. Go and expose yourself to some of those places, eh? And today's value system, unfortunately, it's all about look after number uno. Look after number one, right? And too often, even with believers and Christians, security becomes a goal rather than going out there and actually serving the King and extending the kingdom. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not be anxious. He said, don't worry. Don't worry about what you'll eat or what you'll drink or what you'll wear. For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And then He gives us this incredible insight. And this is a scripture, I think, that we've kind of hung on to since we first got born again. It says, but seek ye first, not second, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then it says, and all these things will be added unto you. In other words, it's our you know, the things that we need to live, our homes, vehicles, petrol, whatever it is. But there's a condition right there. We seek Him first and do things His way first. So the question, are you full of courage? Are you willing to stand up for the King? Are you willing to stand up for the kingdom? Right? Paul says this about Epaphroditus. He risked his life and almost died for the work of Christ in order to make up for the help you couldn't give me. So he, Epaphroditus, we can see that he was actually willing to give everything up for the gospel because he loved the unsaved. He loved those that didn't know Jesus. And he wanted to make sure that they would spend eternity in God's presence as well. We need to have courage, folks. We really need courage. Paul says, okay, this is Paul, it says in Romans 12 verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, now this is part of our response. I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Are we doing that? Are we presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable to God. And then he goes on to say, which is your spiritual worship. So when we present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice to God, the Bible says we are worshiping Him. This is a form of worship, and God is aware of this. He says then, do not conform to this world. In other words, don't allow this world and this world system to mold you, that becomes the norm. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this is so important, folks, because we renew our mind with the Word of God. That ultimately our thinking and the Word of God start to line up. That's what it is, renewing our mind, that we think the Word of God. And in other words, if the Word of God says that it is like this, that is what we believe. We don't embrace what the world is telling us. So he says, do not be conformed to this world by the transformation, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing, so there are tests that will come, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How have you stood up for the Lord recently for the things of God? Think about it. When was the last time? Are you willing to become or to, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice as we see it right here for the King? Are you, me, I'm talking to all of us, are we men and women of courage? And again, you know, I did speak about that last week. So folks, just in closing, you know, we are so blessed now. We've got Gail on keyboards, man, wonderful. Claude on vocals and Gail on vocals as well, and Claude on guitar. We have a wonderful worship team, and we sing wonderful songs. But sometimes we sing songs that are here but not here. We have to be careful of that. We sing songs. Who knows that song? Stand up for Jesus. You know that song? You know it? That one. That song. We sing stand up for Jesus, but as soon as the battle comes, we're not standing up. We're sitting somewhere or we're up in the gallery. But we'll sing the songs. Right? Let's make sure that as we sing these songs, that we are singing them wholeheartedly, and that is the true us. True Christianity is not for sissies. Now you can tell the person next to you, I'm not a sissy. Okay. Folks, God wants His people to be godly. And God is more concerned, like I said right in the beginning, more concerned about our character than He is about our comfort. And He is more concerned about our holiness than He is about our happiness. Hey, you guys listen. Man, this is amazing. So He wants you and I to be well prepared for the eternity that we're going to be moving into. Amen. It's about making a decision again to be those of good character, integrity as believers in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Cool. Thanks, Lord.